You're listening to an audio recording created by Jason Crow. This audiobook is a conversion of the story called A Matter of Survival, written by Alex Hawk. This recording is brought to you for free, so if you paid for it, you were ripped off. Sorry about that. Both text and this recording are protected by copyright laws, so please respect that. You can distribute it if you want to, but please be kind enough to make references to where you got it and who wrote it. Check out the website jasoncrow.eu for more information and stories. And now, let's start with the story.
A Matter of Survival by Alex Hawk.
"Crap, this sucks," came Mikey's voice over the radio. I held my silence. It sucked, yes. But I didn't want to say anything, lest I wound up distracting Abe from his job of flying the small plane we were all in. Outside, there was a nasty, raging storm that seemed to have blown out of nowhere. It wasn't snowing, which was a mercy, but it was raining really hard and the wind was really strong. We'd taken off about 3 hours ago from Prince Rupert in British Columbia, where we lived, and were flying up Juneau, Alaska, to visit our dad over Easter. Originally, our parents had planned for us to take a commercial flight, but Abe was a friend of the family and owned a small plane, so he offered to fly us up. Things had been going well until the storm, which had come up out of the northeast about an hour ago, and now we were in serious shit. "Hang on, kids," Abe said. "This is going to get rough." I was sitting in the back and Mikey was up in the front seat. He was my twin brother. We were both 14 and this was our first time flying. With luck, it wouldn't be our last. Suddenly, the whole plane shook to one side and began vibrating horribly. I don't know if it was Mikey or me that screamed first, but we were both doing it. Then, over the sound of our screaming came the horrible sound of silence as the engine coughed once and died. "Oh, hell," muttered Abe. He began flipping switches and trying to contact help over the radio. Then he looked around at us. "Okay, we're going down. I'm going to try to bring us in as soft as I can. Mikey, when I tell you to, pop your door so that it doesn't jam if the frame warps. Kathy, you make sure you're buckled in. Both of you, once we're on the ground, grab the survival kits and we'll get out of here." In stunned silence, both of us nodded. An eerie silence settled over the plane for the next couple minutes. My ears popped as we lost altitude. I looked at Mikey's scared face and held out my hand to him. He took his hand in mine and smiled weakly at me. "Okay," Abe said, looking around. "Get ready to pop the door. Ready now." Mikey and Abe both hit the locks on the doors. The wind held them closed, mostly, but some wind also blew into the cabin.
"Right. Brace yourselves," called out Abe. As we went down, I kept my eyes locked on Mikey. I loved my twin brother dearly, and if I was about to die, I wanted him to be the last thing I saw. Of course, it would have helped if he'd been looking back at me, instead of being curled up in a crash position, but I took what I could get. Then, suddenly, I was aware of Mikey shaking me and calling my name. I looked up at him, focusing blurrily.
"Kathy, oh, thank God, I thought you might be..." He shook his head. "Come on, we have to get out of here. The plane's on fire."
"What?"
I looked around. We're on the ground?"
"Yeah, you got hit on the head."
"Oh." My brain felt thick. That would explain why, and probably would explain why I didn't remember us hitting the ground.
"Come on, grab the survival kits."
"Okay." I reached down and grabbed one of the kits, handing it to Mikey. He tossed it out the door. As I handed him the other one, I looked at Abe and then wished I hadn't. He had a piece of metal sticking through one side of his head and out the other. Clearly, he wasn't going anywhere.
"Hand me the rifle," Mikey said.
"Hurry." I handed him the rifle in the back of the plane and a box of ammo. Then, aware of how hot it was getting inside the plane, I grabbed the last two bundles in the back and, with Mikey, scrambled out of the airplane. He grabbed the two survival kits and we sprinted as far away from the plane as we could. About 10 seconds after we got clear, a terrific blast tore through the air. I saw a bit of propeller whiz over my head and embed itself in a tree. We both hit the dirt. We laid there in the muddy ground, breathing hard. Mikey looked over at me, his red cap wet and dirty.
"Are you all right?"
"Yeah, just a nasty headache," which was an understatement.
"You?"
"Yeah." We stood up and looked at the rapidly dying flames that were all that remained of the plane and Abe. I felt bad that he was dead.
I hadn't known him well. He was my mom's friend. He seemed nice, though. Mikey looked at the bundles in my hands. That's a tent, he said, pointing to the one in my left hand. The other one is a sleeping bag, I think. Is there only one? I looked. Yeah. I don't know if there were more in the plane. Probably not. Abe usually flew alone. Okay. I took a breath. So now what? Mikey shivered. We gotta find a place to put the tent up and get it up, or we're going to freeze. I nodded. It was probably only a little bit above freezing, and it was only a few hours until nighttime, though with the clouds it likely wouldn't make a difference. All right, let's go that way, I said, pointing. Why that way? Why not? Okay, we walked for about 5 minutes, just long enough to get away from the plane. We eventually found a very small clearing with some flattish ground. It wasn't much, but it would be something. We opened up the bag with the tent. Inside was a small plastic tarp. I began to spread that out on the ground to give us a dry surface to work with. Meantime, Mikey rooted around inside the survival kits and eventually found a small, hand-cranked lamp. Soon it was glowing, and, working together, we began to put the tent together. It took a good 20 minutes, but at the end, we had a nice shelter constructed. Quickly, we tossed our gear inside and then tossed ourselves in. Mikey hung the lamp from a small hook at the top of the tent, and for the first time in several hours, I felt myself begin to relax a little. Grinning a little and looking as tired as I felt, Mikey said, "Well, we made it." "Yeah," I winced a little and rubbed at my head. "Here, let me look at you." "Okay." Mikey got up on his knees and looked at my head. "Well, I don't see... Oh, does this hurt?" He poked a small spot on the back of my head. "Yes." "That must have been where you hit something. It's a lump. Not a big one, though. Let me see if there's some aspirin in here. That'll reduce the swelling." "Okay." As Mikey rooted through the two survival kits, I looked around the tent. That was easy. It took about 2 seconds. It was about 10 feet long, about 5 feet wide, and about 4 feet high. Not big at all. Still, it would do for the two of us. "Oh, good. A first aid kit." Mikey opened it up and found a bottle of aspirin. He took out two and a bottle of water, then handed them to me. "Thanks." I swallowed the aspirin and drank down the water. Almost instantly, I felt better, though I knew that was probably just psychological. "So, now what?" Mikey said. I sighed. "I don't know. I guess we wait a few days until we get rescued. Is there a radio in the kit or anything?" "Oh, hey, I didn't think to check." Mikey rumbled around again. Then he frowned. "No." "Shit," I said, succinctly. "Well, I guess we wait a few days and see what happens. We should stay near the crash site. If nothing else in the morning, we might find some stuff there. At the very least, being near it will help us to get spotted by any rescue teams." "You think any will come?" "Yeah, they have to, right? I mean, I heard Abe sending out a distress signal." "Yeah." I reached out and picked up the survival kits and began rooting through them myself. There wasn't a lot, but what there was good. There was some water purifying tablets, a lot of matches, some fishing line, some hooks, a compass, a couple sharp knives, a multi-tool, a first aid kit, and a few other things. Nothing much, but it would certainly help keep us alive if we were out here for a while. "Well, this is fun," I said after a bit. I looked at my watch. It was almost 5. "I'm not tired enough to sleep yet." "Me either. Oh, and there's only one sleeping bag. It's big enough for us both, though, and since it's going to be cold as fuck, we're going to have to share it." "Yeah," I said, nodding. "Well, better that than dead." "Yeah, no kidding." He looked at the rifle. "We got this, at least. If we're out here long enough, I can go hunting or something. We got about 200 rounds. "Oh, that's good." "Yeah." The lamp had started to dim. Mikey reached up and gave it a few cranks, and it glowed bright again. "I found a deck of cards, by the way," he said as he sat down. "You want to play 21 or war or something? It'll keep us from getting real bored." "Yeah, okay." Mikey shuffled the cards and began to deal them. We started out with playing 21, then went on to war and finally poker. It wasn't really all that fun, but it was better than nothing, and before I realized it, we'd gotten to a little after 8. I found myself yawning, even though it was nowhere near my normal bedtime. It had been a pretty stressful day. Once we were done with the hand we were playing, I suggested to Mikey it was time to get some sleep. He agreed. We gathered all the supplies back into their kit cases and then unrolled the sleeping bag. As Mikey had said, it would easily be big enough for both of us. We took off the coats we'd been wearing and our shoes and then got into the sleeping bag. This was when I realized that big enough for two was a subjective statement. We'd fit in here, sure, but there was no way we were going to be able to avoid rubbing up against each other. Oh, well, at least that would help keep us warm. I began to realize just how warm about an hour or so later. Mikey had been tossing and turning as we tired to fall asleep, and finally he said, "Kathy?" "Yeah? I am really warm. Do you care if I take off my shirt?" "No, it's cool." "Okay." Mikey sat up and took off his shirt. I could dimly see him in the faint light coming from outside the tent. He set it aside and got back under the blanket. "Thanks. No problem." I tried to drift off to sleep, but at one point I felt Mikey's back come into contact with my bare arm. A little shiver went through me. The touch of his skin on mine was so hot it was like fire. Not in a bad way, though. I had been about to fall asleep, but the contact with Mikey's bare back was enough to wake me back up. I'd never actually slept with anyone before. It was kind of nice, but I could see it was going to be hard to get used to knowing that someone else could touch me at any point. I was also starting to feel even warmer than I had before. So I sat up, saw that Mikey was asleep, and, not wanting to bother him, didn't ask before I took my shirt off. I was still wearing my bra, which wasn't real comfortable, but at least I was going to be cooler. Then I snuggled back under the blanket and, after a bit, fell asleep. Chapter 2. I woke up with a start in the morning. The tent was filled with a bright, glowing light. I rolled over and saw Mikey sleeping next to me. The sleeping bag had fallen down a little, and most of his bare chest was exposed. I reached over and placed my hand on his chest, shaking him. "Mikey, wake up! Murpgle!" he mumbled, then opened his eyes. "Oh, hey!" He squinted in the bright light of the tent. "Yeah, I know, it's real bright in here." "Yeah?" Mikey looked at me and grinned. "Nice bra, Kathy." Rolling my eyes, I pulled on my shirt, shivering a little as I did. It had been on the floor near the tent wall and was really cold. Mikey pulled on his shirt, too. We then got our shoes, socks, and jackets on, then unzipped the tent. We stepped out into a world of white. "Oh, must have snowed last night," said Mikey, king of obvious land. "Still is a little," I pointed out. "Yeah," he shivered. "We'd better build a fire." "Oh yeah, that's a good idea." Moving around slowly in the morning cold, we began gathering up some sticks and twigs and a few larger branches. Mikey had done some time in the Boy Scouts and had a fair idea how to build a fire using green wood. Once we had the wood gathered, we cleared out some space and began to assemble the fire. Soon, Mikey had a decent blaze going. We sat around it, feeling sensation returning to our limbs. Mikey went back into the tent long enough to get us some food. We ate it. It wasn't much, just some high-calorie protein bars. They'd keep us going, though. We also drank some snow melt that we'd put into a collapsible bucket. We wanted to be careful to preserve the water supply we had brought with us. Once we were done eating, Mikey said, "Toss some more wood on the fire, and then we should probably go check out the airplane." I really didn't want to do that, but he was right that it was a good idea. Before we left, Mikey grabbed a collapsible shovel that had come with the survival kit. I didn't ask him what it was for. I had an idea, but I didn't want to think about it. Once we got to the plane, we looked around the site trying to find whatever we could in the way of supplies. There wasn't much. Little bits here and there, including an entirely intact towel, but that was it. Then there was what was left of Abe. It wasn't much, and it was pretty black. I tried not to look at it or think about it. I did help Mikey dig a hole in the mostly frozen ground, and helped him cover the body with dirt and rocks and snow. But I didn't move it into the hole. No, Mikey did that, wrapping his hands in the towel we found and burying that with him. After Abe was buried, we walked back to the little camp we'd set up. I took a few moments to duck behind some trees and take care of some business. Mikey went to a different set of trees for the same thing. Then we met back at the fire. After some minor discussion, we decided to see if we could find a source of fresh water and maybe a place to fish. Taking the compass, a bucket, and our fishing gear, we went out in search. Mikey also took the rifle, just in case. "You know," I said as we walked, "it's actually kind of nice out here once you get past all the problems."
Mikey nodded. Like any good Canadian kids, we had a decent appreciation of the great outdoors. We walked west for about 20 minutes before we came across a river. It wasn't very big. It was probably only about 15 feet across and probably only a couple feet deep, but it was a source of fresh water. To make matters even better, I could already spot the silvery flash of fish. I strung up a couple hooks and cast my line out into the water with a bit of our food provisions as bait. While I did that, Mikey tromped upstream a little to see if he could find any animals we could eat. It turned out to be pretty productive, at least on my end. I did at one point hear the crack of the rifle, but when Mikey came back to where I was, he was empty-handed. Apparently he'd shot at a rabbit, but it had got away. I'd been a bit more lucky. I'd managed to reel in 4 fish. I could have easily snagged more, but I figured it was best to not get greedy and catch more than we could eat in a day or two. We walked back to the camp, Mikey carrying the rifle and the fish. I was carrying our bucket filled with fresh water. Once we got back to the camp, we stoked up the fire and began cleaning the fish. Right after that, we made up our minds that, in the future, we'd only do that down at the river. Once our food was cooked, we sat back and ate it. It was okay. I liked fish, but I really only liked it with a bit of seasoning. Nice and complete, though, the survival kits were. They didn't have much in the way of herbs and spices. It was only noon by the time we were done eating. We killed another hour gathering up some firewood, making sure we had a good supply. There was a small axe inside the survival kit, which made it much easier than it otherwise would have been. Then we sat around the fire doing nothing. I tossed a stick into the fire. Well, this is boring. Yeah. You still dating Jenny Mertz? I asked after a bit. What? Oh no, we broke up back a month ago. That's too bad. Why? Mikey said. She decided she wanted someone else. Oh, that sucks. Yeah. You ever get any from her? Mikey looked surprised. What kind of question is that for a girl to ask her brother? I shrugged. I'm bored and slightly cold, and any distraction is welcome. Even talking about your brother's lack of a sex life? I shrugged again. Any port in a storm? Mikey laughed. Yeah. Well, no. As a matter of fact, I didn't get any from her or anyone else. The most I've ever done is kissing. You? Same here, I lied. I hadn't even kissed a boy. Once we get out of here, though, I'm going to make damn sure I get a boyfriend. That was true. Mikey laughed. Yeah, me too. Well, a girlfriend for me. We killed an hour swapping dirty jokes and then spent some time just wandering around, exploring the area, though being careful to never get too far away from the camp. We saw some birds and some animal tracks, but what we didn't see was any sign of any rescue planes. We figured they'd be along eventually. As it began to get dark, I said, "Do we douse the fire or keep it going?" Mikey frowned. "Well, good question. If we let it burn, people might see it. If we put it out, though, no risk of a forest fire." "People would certainly see that," I said. Mikey nodded. "Yeah, but I don't really want to burn to death." "There is that," I conceded. "Well, let's stay up until, say, an hour after dark. That way someone might see the light from the fire. After that, we can douse it and go to bed." "Okay." We stayed up for about an hour, telling ghost stories and taking turns winding up the lamp so that it would have as much power as possible. We figured we'd probably be awake at least another couple hours once we were inside the tent. The fire had burned kind of low by the time we were ready for bed, so it was a sample matter to toss some dirt on top and make sure it was completely out. Then, with one last look at the cloudy sky completely devoid of planes, we went inside. Once in the tent, we lit the lamp and started playing cards again. Frankly, it was boring as hell, but it was better than nothing. I really wished we had something more interesting to do with our time, though. "We should probably get to sleep," Mikey said after a couple hours. "Yeah." We made ready to get into the sleeping bag. Mikey said, "Hey, since it was real warm in there last night, do you care if I just take my shirt off right now?" "Not really. Thanks." Mikey pulled off his shirt. I got into the sleeping bag and watched him as he moved around the tent, getting everything ready for bed. He had a really nice body, I noticed. Not like really muscled or anything, but nicely shaped. A couple of my friends had major crushes on him. I never knew why, how, and still didn't, really, but I began to approach an understanding. Once everything was squared away, Mikey got into the sleeping bag next to me. He whispered, "Good night." "Good night," I replied, and fell right to sleep.
Well, that had been the plan anyhow. Instead, I laid there on my side, eyes closed, trying to sleep. I found myself unable to. I kept thinking about our situation and what a bitch it was. I wondered how long it would be before we were rescued, if we ever were. Maybe we'd eventually have to walk out of here. I also started to get really warm, just as I did last night. Finally, I took off my shirt. Mikey made no sounds or movement next to me as I did so. He was entirely sacked out. I was envious as hell. Oh well, I'd be asleep soon enough. As I settled back down into the sleeping bag, Mikey mumbled something and turned over. One of his arms flopped out and draped itself over my body. I was really already too warm to want him putting his arm around me like that, but it felt very comforting. Like my twin brother would take care of me. Nothing really bad could happen as long as we were together. With that happy thought, I closed my eyes again and finally fell asleep. Chapter 3. When I woke up the next morning, I saw Mikey already up and out of the sleeping bag, pulling on his shirt. Seeing me, he smiled. Good morning. Oof. Did you sleep okay? I guess, I mumbled, rolling onto my back. Nice bra, Mikey said, tossing my shirt onto my face. Thanks. I sat up and pulled my shirt on. We went through basically the same routine as we had the day before. Thankfully, it was warmer today than it had been yesterday, and the snow had started to melt. By noon, it was probably about 45 degrees, frickin' balmy. During the day, Mikey managed to shoot one of the rabbits he'd seen yesterday. I caught us another few fish. Our food gathering done early, we took a few minutes to split up and go to separate parts of the creek to clean up before lunch. Washing in an icy, cold mountain stream is just about as much fun as it sounds. I basically took off an item of clothing, washed myself, put the clothing back on, shivered for a few minutes, then did the next bit of me. It sucked, but I knew I had to keep as clean as I could. I walked back to where Mikey was. As I got to within visual range, I saw him sitting at the edge of the creek doing something odd. His pants seemed to be open, and his hand was moving rapidly on his lap. I stood there, concealed by a bush, watching Mikey do whatever the hell it was he was doing. Whatever it was, he seemed to be enjoying it. His eyes were closed, his head was thrown back, and his mouth was open. It kind of put me mind of what it as like when I would finger. Oh, I started to blush. My twin brother was masturbating. I knew boys masturbated, but I had never actually seen it before. I felt grossed out, curious, embarrassed, and interested all at the same time. I'd never really thought about Mikey as a boy before. I mean, I knew he was a boy, but I never thought of him as anything other than my brother. My sweet twin brother, who was always there for me. Now I was starting to realize, on more than just an intellectual level, that he was in fact a boy. Mikey kept rubbing at himself for another minute or so. Then I heard him stifle a little moan and his whole body shook for a moment. Then he sat back, breathed deep, washed his hand off in the creek, and began to zip up. I ducked back out of sight for a moment, my heart thudding over what I'd just seen. It had been very odd. I didn't dislike it, though. Taking a deep breath, I steadied myself and stepped out into view, saying, "Hey, Mikey." Startled, my brother looked up. "Oh, hey, Kathy. All clean? Yeah, you? Yeah. Good. Let's have lunch." The rest of the passed pretty uneventfully. We ate our lunch, spent quite a bit of time gathering up firewood, ate our dinner, then retired to the tent for a couple hours of boring card play before we both ditched our shirts and went to sleep. Yeah, life was just that exciting. Mikey and I settled into a nice routine. We'd wake up, have a small amount of food from the kits for breakfast, build the fire up real nice, and then go hunting, fishing. After that, we'd have lunch, then pick up firewood, then dinner. Once we'd eaten, we'd talk by the fire for a while, then retire to the tent, play cards, and go to bed. After the first week was done, I was about to slit my wrists with boredom. Pity the survival kits hadn't included a razor. On the ninth day, I woke up in a far darker tent than I was used to. I looked at my watch. The sun should have been up for over an hour, but it was still pretty dim in here. I got out of the sleeping bag, pulled my shirt on, then opened up the tent flap. Outside, it was white, almost pure white. I could dimly see trees, the remnants of our fire pit, and could easily see the wood pile we'd gathered. But everything else was covered under at least a foot of fresh snow. And it was still falling hard.
Mikey, I said, going back into the tent and shaking him. Mikey, wake up.
Hmm.
What? He blinked up at me. It's snowing, a lot. Mikey sat up, rubbing at his eyes. It is? Yeah. Still shirtless, he went over and opened up the tent flap. He looked out for a few moments, then said, well, fuck, yeah. Mikey sat back down after closing the tent flap. Shivering a little, he pulled on his shirt. Well, that fucks our plans for today. I don't want to go wandering around and get lost in this stuff. Plus, there's no way we can build a fire. Yeah. Well, we have enough food in here. We can live off our rations for a while. Yeah, but I really don't want to do that more than we need to. But I guess we need to. Yeah, we should at least try to knock some of the snow off the tent. It'll make it lighter and warmer in here. Mikey nodded. Okay, let's get dressed then. We kitted ourselves up and grabbed the collapsible shovel. 30 minutes of effort later, and we had not only knocked the snow off the tent, we'd also dug a nice little path to a thicket of trees where we could use the bathroom. On my suggested, we also took a length of fluorescent string, tied one end to the tent and the other end to one of the trees. That way, we wouldn't get lost if the snow was really bad. Then we had a largely cold breakfast with some cold water into which we mixed some flavored vitamin-enriched drink mix. That would make up for the fact that we weren't going to be eating fresh food today. After that, well, what was there to do? Boredom was bad enough on days when we could be outside the tent. Today, though, it was really sucking. We both wound up taking a nap, but that only lasted for an hour or two. Once we were done with lunch, we passed another few hours with, you guessed it, playing cards. We'd taken to using small pebbles as currency to make it more interesting when we played poker, which we'd began to play after War, 21, Go Fish, Old Maid, and something I swear Mikey made up called Cripple Mr. Onion, but even that wasn't enough to sustain my interest for the whole afternoon. By the time we were done with dinner, it was pretty clear to me there was no hope. I fell back onto the sleeping bag, my eyes rolled back into my head. Something wrong? Mikey asked, shuffling the cards. I'm dead, I said. What killed you? Boredom, Mikey laughed. Well, we can... Don't, I sat up. Don't mention cards. I am so sick of playing cards. Shrugging, my brother said, you got anything else to do? No, I confessed. At least we're getting good at it. Yeah. Just wish we had some real money or something. Playing for pebbles isn't really interesting. There's no stakes or anything. Laughing, I said, well, we could always play strip poker, Mikey giggled. Do you want to? I opened my mouth intending to say no, but then I realized that it would likely be a solution to boredom, at least for a while. Shrugging, I said, well, I will if you will. You will? Yeah. Mikey thought about it while he shuffled his cards. Well, okay, at least it'll keep us from being bored for a bit. With a laugh, I said, that's exactly what I was thinking. Grinning, Mikey began to deal the cards. Okay, let's do this. I sat down across from my brother, feeling a little nervous at what we were about to do. I didn't know why I was feeling that way, but I was. Mikey dealt out the cards. I looked mine over. I had a pair of sixes, then also a three, a five, and a nine. Not much, but I could keep the sixes. I sent the other three cards back. I got a four, a jack, and a nine in trade. Mikey sent back two of his cards. Then he looked up at me. Ready? Yeah, okay. Mikey set down his cards. Two tens. I set down mine. Two sixes. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I win the first one then. Don't get used to it, I replied, pulling my shirt off, leaving me in my bra. Whatever you say. Mikey said with an evil chuckle. My brother dealt out more cards. This time I ended up with, to my happiness, two jacks in addition to two threes. I already had two pair. Grinning a little, I sent back the single eight that I had and got a two in return. Well, the pairs were still good. Mikey sent back three of his cards and then smirked. Ready? Yeah. I set down my two pairs. Mikey's eyes went wide. Oh. Well, I had three of a kind, but I guess two pair beats that. Yes, it does. Shrugging, Mikey pulled his t-shirt off. He really did have a pretty nice-looking chest, I thought, as I watched him dealing out the cards. I wondered what the rest of his body looked like. Well, with luck, I'd get to see pretty soon. This time I knew as soon as I looked at the cards, I wasn't going to have much of anything. I had... Well, it was sad what I had. Suffice to say, I sent back everything except for one ace. And in the end, even that wasn't going to save me. Mikey had a huge smirk on his face. It was pretty obvious that no matter what I had,
he was going to pretty well kick my ass. So I was prepared for the worst when he set down his cards. Sure enough, he had a full house. Then I cheered up. Yeah, he had a full house, but a simple pair would have beaten my hand. I set it down.
Oh, that's bad, Mikey said with some sympathy in his voice.
Yeah, it could have been better, I admitted as I stood up and pulled off my jeans, leaving me in my bra and panties. Nothing Mikey hadn't seen before in the last couple days, but, well, I knew there was something different in the air right now. If nothing else, I was one loss away from Mikey seeing at least one part of my more private areas. Mikey dealt out the cards again. I paid particular attention to my hand this time. Mikey had on his pants, underwear, and socks. We were counting those for him, but not for me since I had my bra. And he could still lose and show nothing important. I didn't have that option. At first I thought I didn't have much of anything, but then I started looking closely and realized that I was sitting on top of a 3, a 4, a 6, a 7, and an 8. I only needed a 5 and I'd be almost unbeatable. With a sense of great hope, I sent back my 2 and got back another 3. Aw, hell, Mikey, however, didn't look too terribly confident. Finally he said, "Okay, I'm ready. What you got?" Sighing, I placed down my pair of 3s. "Oh, well, that's bad, yeah," my twin brother said. "But actually mine's worse." He put down a pair of 2s. "Thank you, God," I thought to myself as Mikey took off his socks. Out went the cards once more. This time it ended with another reprieve for me, as my 3 8s beat Mikey's 3 6s. Sighing deeply, he stood up and pulled down his jeans, leaving him just in his underwear. As he sat down, I could clearly see what was obviously his penis tenting up inside. A thrill of excitement went through me. At the end of the next hand, no matter who won, one of us would be showing forbidden flesh. Naturally, I hoped it would be Mikey. Tension filled the tent, which despite the cold outside now felt quite warm after hours of us being in here with the snow insulating us. Mikey dealt the cards once more, and I picked up mine. I was staring at a real good potential here, I thought. I already had a pair of kings, that was good. To make matters better, I also had an ace. The 4 and the 7 were just icing on the cake. I kept the kings and the ace. In return, I got back another ace, a 7 and a 9. Well, that was 2 pair. That was fine. Grinning widely, Mikey said, "Well, you ready?" Now feeling a little nervous, I said, "Yeah?" Mikey put down his cards. "Full house," he said proudly. "Oh, hell," I muttered as I set down my 2 pairs. "Fine, I guess you win that one." "Yes, I do." Sighing, but knowing I had no real choice, I reached behind myself and unclasped my bra, pulling it forward and setting it aside. If nothing else, it did feel to get it off me for the first time in a while. Of course, it also left me bare-breasted in front of my twin brother. Somehow, I didn't think that bothered him any. "So, Mikey began, trying not to be obvious about staring at my chest. What do we do after the next hand?" "What do you mean?" "Well, one of us is going to be naked." "Oh, I thought about it. Well, we'll worry about that later, I guess." "Okay." Out went the cards yet again. I regarded mine with a cautious air. I had a pair of aces, which wasn't a bad start. I also had a 3, a 9, and a queen. It was kind of a no-brainer to send back the 3, 9, and queen. In return, I got a jack, a 10, and a king. I was left with a pair of aces. I frowned. Well, this wasn't the best of things. Mikey grinned widely. "You ready?" Taking a deep breath and getting ready to be nude, I said, "Yeah." Mikey slapped down his cards. "Straight, flush, beat that." Shrugging, I said, "I can't," and plopped down my 2 aces. Mikey looked at my cards. "What? I wasted a straight flush on that?" "Yeah, well. He looked at me expectantly. I stood up and without any ceremony pulled my panties down, kicking them aside. Now fully nude, I sat back down on the floor of the tent, my legs closed. I wasn't about to give Mikey that good of a view. "So, now what?" Mikey asked. I shrugged. "I dunno. We can keep playing if you want." "Okay, if I lose I ditch my underwear, but what if you lose?" "I don't know. What do you think?" Mikey considered this for a moment. "Well, how about if I win, you have to open your legs so I can really, you know, get a look?" "I guess that's fair," I said. I didn't want the game to stop, after all. Not only was I kind of curious to see what Mikey looked like naked, I also wanted to stave off any further boredom. Mikey dealt out the cards again. This time, once the smoke had cleared, I was left with a pair of jacks and a pair of 3s. This made me feel a little more cheerful. Then Mikey put down a full house. I glared at my twin brother. That's it, I'm dealing from now on, Mikey laughed. Yeah, well, that's okay if you want. I do, okay. He handed me the cards. Time to pay up. I crossed my legs under me in the so-called Indian style. It was actually kind of comfortable this way, and it did give my brother a decent view of my vagina. How's this? I asked. Good, Mikey said in a soft voice. I saw the tent pole under his underwear twitch slightly. I shuffled the cards really, really well and then dealt them out. I was left with, to my happiness, 3 fours, a 5 and a 10. Not much thinking was required to get rid of the 5 and the 10. I got back a 2 and another 5. Oh well, 3 of a kind was still pretty decent. All right, I said, what you got, Mikey? Shyly, Mikey put down 3 sixes. Just these. I glared at my twin brother. You know, Mikey, I really hate you right now, I said as I put down my 3 fours. Mikey laughed. He'd won a lot. It was easy for him. Sorry, he said with a little grin. No, you aren't. You're right. I glared again. So, since I lost, what do I do now? Penalties for losing? I guess so. Okay, Mikey thought. Well, I don't know. Stand up and do a little dance. I looked up at the tent roof, less than 4 feet from the floor. Listen, Buster, how short do you think I am? Mikey laughed. All right, well, just lie on your back and pretend to be dancing. I laughed. Okay. I laid on my back and wiggled around, giggling a little. Mikey let his eyes roam all over my naked body. I actually didn't mind, though I was somewhat surprised I didn't. I even found myself getting a little aroused knowing that I was turning my twin brother on. After a couple minutes, I sat up. Okay, I'm done with that. All right, Mikey grinned shyly. You looked good doing it. Thank you, I said, shuffling the cards. Now prepare for nudity. You're already naked, he helpfully pointed out. I mean your nudity. Oh well, I don't think that's going to happen. I dealt the cards out. Just play, boy. A few moments later, when I was putting down a crappy set of cards with a high card of a king to Mikey's pair of sixes, I was really starting to wish I hadn't told him to start playing. Okay, I said with a sigh. What's my penalty this time? Well, Mikey looked a little embarrassed. I dunno, can I maybe get a really good look between your legs? I considered this for a moment and then shrugged. Okay, I guess. Lying back a little, I spread my legs. Mikey crouched between them, looking down at my virgin vagina. What do you think? I asked into the long silence that followed. It's cool. I've never seen one before. Glad I could help, I said sardonically. Can we get back to the game now? Huh? Oh yeah, sure. I dealt the cards out again. This time I ended up with a full house and felt a lot more confident. At least I did right up until the time Mikey plopped down his 4 threes. I looked upward. Have I angered thee, O Lord? Mikey laughed. Don't worry, you'll get lucky eventually. Gambler's fallacy, I muttered. Okay, what's the penalty? Mikey thought and thought hard. I was starting to wonder if he'd ever come up with something when he said, Okay, I got it. Okay, Mikey bit his lower lip and then said, Well, okay, can I touch your breasts? I had a fair inkling of what Mikey had been about to say, but I didn't want to say anything about it. I mean, he was still my brother after all. But just touching my breasts. I guess that would be okay, I said after a bit. Okay. I got up onto my knees and leaned forward a little. Mikey reached out with both his hands and placed one over each of my breasts. A little shudder went through me at the contact. No one had ever touched me there before. They're nice, Mikey said after a moment. Thank you, I said, for lack of anything better to say. After another minute or so, Mikey said, Well, do you want to keep playing? Yeah, I gotta get you naked. Mikey grinned. Yeah, how's that working out for you so far? Shut up, I replied, and dealt out the cards again. This time, as I looked at my cards, I felt my heart sink. I had nothing, a crap hand. I sent back everything but my highest card, which was a 9, and ended up getting another one. A pair of 9s. Great. Then I saw a grimace on Mikey's face. Could it be? Ready? I asked. No, but... Mikey set down his cards. He had a pair of 3s. Ah! I breathed. Revenge at last. I set down my cards. Mikey laughed. Yeah, you win this one. Damn right. Off with the undies. Mikey got up and lowered his underwear down, then sat back, giving me my first ever view of a boy's penis. Not just a penis, but a hard one at that. It was about 5 inches long, had a small amount of hair at the base, and looked really interesting. I had a fair idea of what my vagina was like, and I couldn't begin to picture how something like that would fit inside me. Well,
Maybe I could a little, I thought as I took a good look. So, Mikey said into the silence filling the tent. You want to keep playing? Just for penalties? He shrugged. Sure, why not? I thought a few moments, my eyes wandering back to my brother's hard penis. Finally, I said, well, okay. Or, you know, we could just... I saw him thinking quickly. Well, we could just take turns daring each other to do things, I shrugged. Sure, I was getting kind of bored with cards anyhow. Okay, who goes first? I do, I said firmly. You already got to do lots of penalties on me. Okay. I thought a moment. So, okay, get up and let me see your butt. Mikey got up onto his knees and turned around. His ass was round and firm and smooth. It actually looked really nice. Hell, my brother just looked nice naked, period, I was realizing. No wonder some of my friends had crushes on him. Okay, you can sit down, I said after a moment, though during that moment I'd let my fingers briefly brush against my vagina. Mikey sat back down. Okay, your dare is, well, get up like I did and let me see your butt. Okay. I got up on my knees and faced away from my brother, wondering if he liked the view of me as much as I'd liked the view of him. I wanted to turn around to see if he was touching his penis like I'd touched my vagina, but I knew that would probably not be a smart idea. Okay, Mikey said after a bit. I turned around and sat back down. Mikey's hands were nowhere near his erect penis, but I hadn't expected them to be. Okay, so what's my dare? Mikey asked. I thought about this for a few seconds. Well, you got a good look at my vagina, so let me get a good look at your penis. Okay. Mikey got up onto his knees, putting his penis in easy view of my eyes. I took a good look. As I'd already noticed, it was about 5 inches long, maybe a little less, with just a little brownish hair at the base. It was also pulsing faintly. I knew it was blood that got it hard, so I guessed it was Mikey's heartbeat. I still wasn't sure something like that could actually fit inside my vagina, but obviously it could, at least in theory. Since he was my brother, I wouldn't actually be testing this theory. It looks cool, Mikey, I said after a bit. Thanks, he sat back down. Okay, ready for your dare? Sure. Can I touch your vagina, Kathy? I thought about this for a few seconds, but not too many. Sure, I guess. I mean, you dared me, so I have to. Okay. I laid back and spread my legs. Mikey got between them and, rather shyly, placed his hand directly onto my vagina. He traced his fingers back and forth along my slit, brushing against my clitoris a couple times. It felt just amazing. Do you like it? Mikey whispered. Yeah, me too. After a couple minutes went by, I finally said, Mikey? Yeah, my turn to dare you now. Oh, okay. I had a million ideas coursing through my brain, but I settled on saying, let me touch your penis. Okay. Mikey got up onto his knees again. I reached out and brushed my fingers against the shaft of my brother's penis. It was very warm to the touch and surprisingly smooth. I wrapped my hand around it, feeling the hardness under the skin. I decided I liked it. A couple minutes went past before I said, okay, time for you to dare me again. All right. We both sat back down. Mikey thought for a few seconds and then said, where does the boy's penis go? You mean inside me? Yeah. I lie back a little and spread my legs wide. With my fingers, I reached down and parted my vaginal lips, giving my brother a good view of the entrance. There? He asked, pointing. Yeah. Licking his lips, Mikey said, can I, would you let me? He swallowed a little. Can I put my penis? He turned a bright red and swallowed again. I mean my pinky in there? It was really clear he hadn't meant to say that. At least I didn't think that was what he was originally planning to say. Maybe it was a Freudian slip, but he'd asked about this pinky, not his penis, which was good, because I had no idea what I would have said if he had asked for that. As it was, I knew exactly what to say. Okay, but put it in slowly. Okay. Mikey placed his finger against the entrance to my vagina and slowly began to push. He moved his finger back and forth and soon had it all the way inside me. It was the first time anyone's but mine had been in there, and I really, really liked it. Do you like this? My brother asked. Yeah, I whispered. Looking down, I said, move a little closer. This way? Mikey said, scooting closer. Yeah. Now his penis was in range. I reached out and put a hand around it, stroking slowly. We lay there like that for a good several minutes, gently masturbating each other. We weren't trying to reach orgasm or anything like that. We were just having a good time touching one another. If nothing else, it was very comforting. Then as he fingered me, Mikey leaned down and kissed each of my nipples.
It felt really incredibly nice, but not nearly as nice as what happened next, when he moved his face down and kissed me right above my clitoris as he worked a second finger into my very wet vagina. Oh, I moaned a little, stroking him faster. Does that feel good? Yeah, he whispered, moving his fingers more rapidly within me, and then started running his tongue along my clitoris. It felt absolutely stunning. I couldn't believe how great it was. Then a couple moments later, Mikey said, "Oh, Kathy, I'm gonna come soon." I kept stroking his penis, wondering what would happen next. I had my answer moments later, as Mikey moaned loudly, and several streams of white fluid splashed out onto my leg and hand. Panting a little, Mikey collapsed slightly, two fingers still inside my vagina, and then looked up at me from between my legs. "Wow," I giggled. "Glad you liked it. Did you come? Me? No." Saying nothing further, my twin brother bowed his head and resumed licking all over my clitoris while he fingered me. It was really incredible, and now that I knew he was trying to get me off, I just closed my eyes and let it happen. It didn't take long either. Only a minute or two went by before the pleasure of orgasm washed over my naked young body. Once we were both done coming, laid there on the ground for a bit. Then Mikey said, "I gotta clean off." "Yeah, me too." I was aware of his sperm on my hand and leg. There were a couple wet naps inside the survival kit. We used those to clean up and then grabbed a couple snacks. The entire time we were still nude. It was warm enough inside the tent that we weren't cold. Plus, well, we liked to see each other naked. After a bit, as it began to grow darker outside, we decided it was time to sleep. Neither of us talked about sleeping naked. We simply got into the sleeping bag nude and turned off the lamp. There was some light coming in from outside the tent. The moon had come out, I guessed, and was bright in the sky. It was enough light to see Mikey's face close to mine. He reached out and placed a hand on my cheek. "You're so beautiful, Kathy," he whispered. "You too." He leaned forward and gently brushed his lips against mine as his hand moved down to cup one of my breasts. "I want to make love to you," my twin brother whispered. "I want that too," I replied, kissing him gently. "Roll onto your back." "Okay." I rolled over and spread my legs. Mikey got between them, kissing first my breasts and then my mouth as he settled down on top of me. He then reached down between our bodies and began poking his penis against me, obviously trying to get inside me. He wasn't aiming quite right, though. Reaching down myself, I took my brother's penis in my hand and lined him up, the tip pressing slightly into me. "There," I whispered. "Okay." Mikey looked into my eyes and I felt him push with his hips. At first, nothing seemed to happen. Then there was an odd pressure between my legs. Then I began to experience the most amazing sensation of my life as, slowly but surely, my twin brother's 14-year-old virgin penis began to slide down into my 14-year-old virgin vagina. It seemed very slow at first, but then he moved back and forth a little and was all the way inside me. There were no easy words to describe how I was feeling. Sure, physically it was incredible, but more than that, there was an emotional bond there. I honestly felt closer to my brother than I ever had before. Of course, this was at least in part due to the fact that part of him was now inside me. I was also surprised it didn't hurt at all. I felt pressure, but no pain. I'd heard it usually hurt the first time a girl had sex, but not in my case. Not that I was complaining, I was just surprised. I looked up at my brother's face, which was a mask of pure pleasure. I still couldn't really believe we were making love. But we were, and so far I had no regrets at all about that. "Oh, Kathy," Mikey whispered. "Oh, this feels wonderful." "Yeah," I whispered back, putting my arms around my twin brother's nude body. Giggling a little, Mikey said, "I guess we're not bored now." "No." Mikey pulled back with his hips and pushed forward, his penis moving inside my vagina. "Does that feel okay?" he asked. "Oh, yes." Mikey moved back and forth again. "Oh, God, this is nice. We should have done this a long time ago." "Yeah." Mikey began moving with a steady rhythm now. Each thrust of his penis into me felt like a glimpse into heaven, especially when he pressed up against my clitoris. I let out a little moan of delight and moved my hands on my twin brother's muscular ass, feeling it move under my hands as he fucked me. The pleasure between my legs began to build as Mikey started moving faster and faster. I didn't think I was likely to have an orgasm, but if I didn't, I was certainly going to end up being very close. Then, Mikey's thrusts into me got very fast.
Suddenly, he let out a loud moan and pushed hard against me, holding himself steady. From my own experience, I knew my brother was having an orgasm, and I felt his penis begin to pulse inside me as his sperm was released into my vagina. Breathing hard, Mikey gave a couple last thrusts and then stopped, holding his slightly sweaty nude body above mine, his penis still stiff inside my vagina. "Wow," Mikey managed to say after a bit. "Yeah, that was amazing." "Yeah, it was." I hugged him tight. He hugged me back and then laughed a little. "This is much better than playing cards." I laughed back. "Yeah," Mikey looked down at me. "So, this was okay to do, right?" "What do you mean?" "Well, we are brother and sister, so..." "Yeah, it is incest, huh?" "Yeah." I thought about it for a few seconds. "Well, it's too late now. Besides, it feels good, right?" "Oh, yeah." Mikey moved his hips, his penis sliding around within me. "It's real nice." "Yeah," Mikey moved a little more. "Can I keep going?" I smiled up at my naked, sweaty twin brother, savoring the sensation of his penis all way deep inside my vagina.
"I'll kill you if you stop."
Mikey giggled and began fucking a little faster. It felt mind-bogglingly incredible. I wrapped my legs around him and held him tight, enjoying the sensations his body was giving mine. Our second bit of intercourse lasted a little longer than our first, though not by much. I guessed it was probably about 5 minutes before Mikey's sperm shot into me once more. The best part, though, was that just before he did that, I had my orgasm, with my vagina clutching hard at my brother's thrusting penis. This time, after he was done coming, Mikey slowly slid his penis out of my vagina and then lay down on the ground next to me, both of us breathing hard. "Wow," he managed to say after a few moments. "Yeah." I leaned over and hugged him. "That was nice, Mikey." "Yeah." He hugged me back, holding me tight. Then he said, "We should probably get to sleep." "Okay." I gave him a little kiss and rolled over onto my side. Moments later, I felt him wrapping his body around mine, and then I slowly drifted off into the haze of sleep. Chapter 4. When I woke up the next morning, I felt happier and safer than I'd felt since before we'd gotten onto the plane. I was lying on my back, and turning my head, I saw Mikey laying on his side, facing away from me. I smiled, thinking about everything he and I had done last night. It had been so wonderful. It made this whole experience worthwhile. I turned over and snuggled up next to my brother, savoring the heat from his nude body against mine. It was nice and comforting to be like this with him, I thought. I wondered how I would have survived without him. While Mikey slept, I let one of my hands circle around to the front of his body. I found his penis and wrapped my hand around it. Not surprisingly, he was already erect. That was nice. It would save time. I started stroking him slowly, thinking to myself how strange it was that I'd so easily accepted this new aspect of my relationship with Mikey. Part of it was simply that it felt very good, but there was also the fact that, well, I didn't know if we were going to live through all this. Having sex with Mikey was, if nothing else, a distraction from reality. I kept masturbating my brother for about a minute or so before he twitched and woke up. He turned his head, looking a little confused, and then smiled at me. "Well, good morning. Good morning." I kissed him on the nose. "Heh." Turning over onto his back, he stretched a little. "You sure know how to wake a guy up." "Glad you like it," I replied, continuing to slowly stroke his penis. Reaching over to cup one of my breasts, Mikey said, "I still can't believe we're actually doing this stuff. I almost thought it was a dream last night." "It was," I said with a smile. "But it's the kind of dream that's true," Mikey giggled. "Yeah, it's so cool that we're not virgins." "That's true," I said, pulling the sleeping bag back to expose our nude bodies. "Virgins don't get to do this," I continued, straddling my brother's waist and lowering my vagina down onto his penis. "Yeah," Mikey whispered. "Wow, incest rocks." I laughed and, "Hell yeah," then began moving up and down on my brother's penis. Having him inside me felt so right and so good. My twin brother reached up with one hand and placed it on my hip, and the other hand on one of my breasts, cupping it and rubbing the nipple as I rode him. I closed my eyes and enjoyed the bliss of multiple forms of stimulation. This time, Mikey was inside me for longer than he had been total for our first two times. It was nearly 5 minutes before he shot his sperm into my vagina. I wish I could say my own orgasm followed right after, but that wasn't the case. I didn't have one this time. Oh well,
Mikey did, and that was what mattered. Once we were done with our first fuck of the morning, my brother and I got dressed and headed out of the tent. It was above freezing, though probably not by too much. It was enough that the snow was melting, though, which was good, because probably about a foot or so had fallen overnight. We spent the next hour or so clearing a path to the fire pit, then getting all the snow out of it. Thankfully, we had some dry firewood we'd put under some branches. It had some snow on it, but not much, and it wasn't too much longer before we had a nice fire going. We used that to cook up some of the fish we'd set aside after our fishing expedition. The cold had kept it nice and fresh. Once we had some food in us, we got everything together and went out to try and catch some more fish. We figured we could never have too much food set aside. As we walked, we talked. We talked about all sorts of things, but not, interestingly, about the sex we'd been having. I wondered why. I mean, it wasn't something I was really feeling pressure to talk about, but still. When we got down to the river, we started doing our best to catch some fish. We didn't know if the cold would keep them away or drive them closer or what, but we figured we'd find out soon. We fished in silence at first, but after about 10 minutes, Mikey said, "Hey, Kathy, yeah? I was thinking about something." "What?" Looking down into the water, Mikey said, "What if you get pregnant?" I didn't say anything for about a minute or two. Then I said, "Well, if I do, I do. That's all. I certainly don't want to stop having sex." "You don't?" "No, I don't want to have a baby, but if you get me pregnant, well, then you do. If I do have to have a baby, having one with you would be nice." Mike grinned. "Yeah? Yeah." He took a step closer. "You want to go try and make one now?" I was caught between arousal and the need to catch some fish. "Oh, well," I thought, "we could fish later." I took my brother's hand and went with him back to the tent, where we spent the next couple hours trying to make a baby. Very slowly, a month went by. Mikey and I spent a lot of time fishing and occasionally hunting, catching nothing but rabbits, though we did spot a couple deer. We did this in addition to collecting firewood and waiting for rescue. Of course, we also spent lots of time with my brother's penis inside my vagina, quickly losing track of how many times we made love, but enjoying every second of it. We figured it was pretty likely by now that I was pregnant. If I wasn't, it sure wasn't from a lack of trying. We had sex at least 5 or 6 times a day. We talked often now about the idea of having a baby and what we'd name it and such. It was a distraction, if nothing else. The closer we got to the 1 month mark, the more we started talking about leaving and trying to get out of here. We figured if we followed the river, it wouldn't be too long before we'd either reach the ocean or a town or something. It wouldn't be an easy trek, but it hopefully wouldn't be too bad. We talked about it, but we never seemed to actually get around to doing it. Then one day in the middle of our 6th week, something major happened that finally motivated us. It was a sunny and comparatively warm day. Mikey and I were outside enjoying the weather. It was one of those perfectly clear days that you sometimes get up in the mountains. We were also completely nude and spreading out the sleeping bag on the ground. We'd taken it out to a small meadow because we'd wanted to see what sex outdoors would be like. It wasn't really that warm, but the sun felt good on our nude bodies and we figured that we'd warm up pretty quickly. We laid side by side on the blanket, Mikey cupping one of my beasts as we began kissing. "You are so pretty," he said to me. I giggled and reached down to stroke my brother's penis. "You're pretty fucking hot and pretty hot when fucking," Mikey laughed. "Yeah, well, not as hot as you." "True." Mikey kissed a path down my body, and once his face was between my legs, he stuck out his tongue and began licking my vagina and clitoris. I smiled softly and stared up at the clear blue sky. If this wasn't heaven, I thought, we could at least see it from here. I moved my body around to bring my face level with my brother's penis and took it into my mouth. We didn't 69 like this too often, and I didn't know entirely why. It was certainly a lot of fun. We spent a few minutes doing this. Not enough to even get us close to orgasms, though it felt very good. After a couple minutes of giving each other oral pleasure, Mikey turned back around, got on top of me, and slowly sank his penis down into my vagina. I watched his face as he penetrated me, still blown away by how sexy he looked when he was inside me. As Mikey began to fuck me, I moved my hands back to their usual resting place on his firm, smooth ass. I still loved the feeling of the muscles moving under the skin while we screwed. It soon became clear that this was going to be one of those times when I'd have an orgasm during sex. The sight of my brother's beautiful nude body on top of mine, and the warmth of the sunlight streaming down upon us in our incestuous coupling combined to push me over the edge. My vagina contracting sharply around Mikey's thrusting penis as waves of pleasure swept through my teenage body. Almost as soon as my orgasm was over with, Mikey started his firing yet another blast of sperm into me. I wondered how many times he had done that so far. I'd lost track after the first day or two, but it never stopped being a wonderful experience. I also found myself wondering Mikey's sperm was going to wind up doing what it was supposed to. I'd had a couple periods since we'd gotten here, so I wasn't pregnant yet, but if we kept up like this, I likely would be soon. Once was he done coming, Mikey kissed me a few times, then slid out, lying next to me on the sleeping bag. "That was nice," he said, a little out of breath. "Yeah," I replied with a smile. He sat up. "I'm gonna go clean up. Be right back." "Okay." I watched Mikey's butt as he walked away, my mind drifting happily on the post-orgasmic ocean. I was almost beginning to hope he and I would never get rescued. We could just stay up here, raise our family, live off the land. I knew it was a silly thought, but I couldn't help it. I sat up suddenly. Something didn't feel right. There was a very strange smell in the air. I didn't know what it was, but it smelled weird. Still naked, I stood up and moved slowly out of the trees towards the river. What I saw made my heart skip a beat. There was Mikey, naked and rubbing some water on himself, and there, outside his field of vision, was a rather big bear, moving along the river in his direction. "Oh shit," I whispered. Mikey, turn around, see the bear." I didn't want to shout at him or anything and maybe scare the bear. Then I remembered the rifle. We'd brought it with us, of course. We took it whenever we left the campsite. We never knew when we might find a rabbit to shoot and have something other than fish for dinner. Moving quickly, I ran over and grabbed the rifle. Just as I picked it up, I heard Mikey scream and the bear roar. I ran out of the trees as fast as I could, ready to open fire. Mikey had, of course, seen the bear. It wasn't too far away from him at this point. He was running, but it was running faster. As I aimed, the bear took a swipe with one of its paws, knocking Mikey down. That at least gave me a clear shot, and I fired, hitting the bear square in the head. It blinked a little and looked confused. I fired twice more, and the bear let out a little sigh and then dropped to the ground. In a panic, I ran to Mikey. I took a moment to shoot the bear in the head one more time, just to make sure, and then looked at my twin brother. At first, I thought he might be dead. His entire back was covered in blood, but then he moaned a little. "Mikey," I dropped down, forcing myself to look. There were three deep cuts on Mikey's back. "Kathy," he whispered. "Shush, don't move. I'll be right back. It hurts." "Don't move," I repeated. I got to my feet and ran, full speed, back to the campsite. Once I got there, I grabbed the first aid kit and sprinted back to Mikey. I wasn't gone more than 10 minutes, but I knew that could be a long time in a situation like this. "Mikey," I said once I got back. He whimpered a little. "I thought you weren't coming back." "You should know better," I said with a smile, despite the situation. I cleaned off the blood. The cuts weren't too deep, but they were going to need stitches. I poured some rubbing alcohol into the wounds, the fact wincing as Mikey whimpered in pain. Then, taking a deep breath, I got out the stitching needle and thread and started in. It took me a good 20 minutes to get all three cuts stitched. It wasn't pretty, but it would do. Then I poured some more alcohol into the cuts and slapped some bandages over them. "You still with me, Mikey?" "Yeah," he mumbled. "I feel cold, though." "Blood loss," I thought. "Don't move, okay? I'll be right back." "Okay." I washed off my hands and then went to fetch the sleeping bag. Once I had it, I went back to the campsite. I put the bag in the tent and then grabbed some food. With that, I walked back to where Mikey was laying on the grass. "Still awake?" I asked in lieu of asking if he was still alive. "Yeah," he whispered, sounding very weak. "Here." I crouched down. "Eat." I put some fish into Mikey's mouth. He chewed and swallowed it. I fed him some more until he'd eaten an entire fish. I also made sure he had some water. "Okay. You think you can move?" "I think so," he said. Okay, let me help you stand up. I helped Mikey to his feet, and rather unsteadily, we made our way, still totally naked, back to the campsite. As soon as we were there, I put Mikey face down on the sleeping bag. Now don't turn over, okay?
I won't.
Thanks, Kathy. I feel a lot better now.
Good.
You gonna be all right if I leave you for, say, an hour or so?
I think so.
Why?
Grinning, I said, 'cause I'm going to get us some bear meat for dinner tonight.
It turned out getting any real meat off the bear's body wasn't as easy as I thought it might be. I did manage to get some good-sized chunks, though. Then, with some real effort, I managed to push what was left of the bear into the river. I hoped it would get carried downstream. I didn't want to have to deal with scavengers coming around looking for a feast. The bear meat also proved to be very, very gamey once I cooked it, but both Mikey and I ate it with smiles on our faces. We'd survived the encounter. The bear hadn't. That was all that really mattered. Though some ketchup would have been nice.
Chapter 5. For 3 days, Mikey didn't move around too much. I was worried an infection was going to set in, and he was running a pretty high fever, but it passed after a bit. I made sure he had plenty of aspirin, which I knew would not only act as a painkiller, but would also keep the fever at bay as much as possible. By the 7th day after the attack, Mikey was sitting up and talking, and seemed pretty much back to his normal self. On the 9th day, he proved how back to normal he was by fucking me 4 times. 2 weeks after the attack, and Mikey and I were facing some serious choices. It was mid-May now. Clearly the weather was good enough that we could perhaps start to hike out of here. We figured if we followed the river, we would, one way or another, end up getting to safety. We made up our mind that we'd spend the day gathering as much food as we could, then tomorrow morning, we'd pack up the campsite and head out. The next morning we got up, reluctantly skipped sex, and packed up everything. We had a quick breakfast, which finished off the last of the food from the survival kit, and then we left a note inside of the wreckage of the airplane, saying that we were following the river downstream. Then, that done, we began to walk. It was interesting how much Mikey and I had changed since we'd been here. I thought to myself as we hiked along the river. When we'd gotten here, he'd had a small amount of baby fat, which was now a fading memory. We'd both gotten a little more serious about things, too. And of course, there was also the sex. There was always the sex. We spent about a week walking steadily downward along the river. Each night, we'd make camp, make dinner, and make love. In the mornings, we'd fuck before we got out of the tent, and then catch some fish before packing up and heading out again. It was a nice little routine. On the 9th day of our hike, during which we finally passed the snow line, we came to a large lake. After some discussion, we decided to walk around the lake completely to see if the river led out of it. It seemed likely it would. Then our plans changed abruptly. After about an hour or so of walking, we spotted a small dock on the far end of the lake. We fairly ran towards it, and were only slightly disappointed to see there wasn't a boat there. At least it was some sign of civilization, though, as was the small path leading away from the dock. We followed it, and after only a couple minutes, found ourselves standing in front of a small cabin. Clearly it was a hunting cabin. The door wasn't locked, and we let ourselves in. It was obvious no one had been here since probably last year. It was clean, and everything was nicely arranged. There wasn't a lot inside, just a bed, a propane cook stove, a small bookshelf with some books, and little else. It did, however, sport a bathroom with a toilet and a shower. There was even a propane tank on the side of the cabin. Mikey and I both smiled at each other, clearly looking forward to showers, hot meals, and a warm bed. "I wonder who owns this place," I said as we looked around. Mikey shrugged. "Doesn't matter. He'll be up here pretty soon."
"Oh, why do you say that?"
Mikey pointed to a small American flag that sat on the bookshelf. "He's probably American. He'll be up here for Memorial Day weekend. That's not too far off. At the longest, we'll just have to wait until then."
"Why do you assume he'll be here then?"
"'Cause it's a long weekend, and the kind of guy that owns a place like this will come up here for it."
"Hmm, maybe."
"Trust me." Mikey put an arm around my waist. "He'll be up here then, or at some other point not long after that. We don't have too long to wait before we're back home."
"Yeah," I sat down. "Something wrong?" I shrugged. Well, it's just that, I thought for a moment. Well, look, I want to be rescued, of course, and go back home and stuff. It's just that I don't want to stop doing what we're doing.
Oh. Mikey sat down next to me and kissed me. Don't worry, we won't stop, I promise.
I snuggled up to him.
Yeah, but what if people try to make us stop? Mikey shrugged. They can't watch us 24/7.
Yeah, there is that, I conceded. I kissed him. He kissed me. This led to about 5 hours of almost non-stop sex. Our first time ever doing it in a bed. Over the next few days, we lived in the cabin, just relaxing and enjoying the space. We still went fishing each morning because we had to have food, but we were a lot more optimistic about everything. Mikey's prediction about the cabin owner returning for Memorial Day weekend ended up being exactly correct. We were just settling down to sleep on the Friday night of the weekend when we heard the sound of a plane. Throwing on our clothes, we ran outside and saw a float plane landing in the lake. It taxied towards us, giving us a great look at the extremely surprised face on the pilot as he saw us waving to him. His name was Stan Grossman, and he was a businessman down in Arizona. We told him who we were and what had happened to us, leaving out the sex part. He used his radio to notify the authorities that we were there, and arrangements were made to pick us up the next morning. That night, we spent our last night in the mountains, sleeping on the floor in the sleeping bag. By noon the next day, the Royal Canadian Air Force had picked us up and flown us out by helicopter. They took us to a nearby airbase, where we were both given full medical exams. The physician raised an eyebrow when I asked for a pregnancy test, but didn't comment. The test was negative. Mikey was also pronounced fit. The doctors removed the stitching I'd put in and gave him some special skin treatments to reduce any scarring. When I saw him afterwards, he looked strange to me. It took me a few moments to realize that he was, for the first time in months, wearing new clothes. We then got flown out to Prince Rupert, and by 4 in the afternoon, we were in our parents' arms. A press conference was held, and we got lots of praise in the media for keeping ourselves alive. I found myself wondering how the media would have reacted if they knew how we'd kept ourselves from being bored. That night, Mikey and I slept in our own warm, comfy, soft beds. No more sleeping on the ground. No more sleeping in a sleeping bag. No more, I sighed. No more sleeping together. Then I heard a faint knock on the door, and Mikey came in. He was wearing only boxers, which he soon ditched. There were no words. We didn't need the words. We had each other. The end. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
You have been listening to an audiobook brought to you by Jason Crow. This story is brought to you free of charge, so if you paid for it, you were ripped off. Sorry about that. If you like this story, go and check out the website jasoncrow.eu for more stories. And while you're there, drop me an email, comment or anything like that to let the authors know you like the story. Or not. Both is fine. But in the end, reading back from you is why we are writing. It's for you, the reader. Or listener in this case, but you know what I mean. Have a great day and hope to see you soon on the jasoncrow.eu website. Take care and stay safe.